540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Joining striking Hollywood writers on the picket line tomorrow, actors who are members of the Screen Actors Guild. Contract talks with the studios and streamers broke down. Entertainment Tonight co-host Nichelle Turner says it means a Hollywood that's pretty much closed for business.
The main sticking points include safeguards for the use of AI, along with pay and residuals for streaming shows.
We had to protect the people who were kind of on the margins.
Character actors such as Mehdi Barakchian, who appear on network TV shows but can't pay his bills.
The corporations that are using our faces, our likeness, our content, all the writing, all the storytelling are reaping tremendous profits.
Two groups linked to the World Health Organization say the sweetener aspartame used in some sodas and what you put in coffee is a possible carcinogen, but also adds it remains safe to consume. Researcher Mary Schubauer-Berrigan says more study is needed.
This shouldn't really be taken as a direct statement that indicates that there is a known cancer hazard from consuming aspartame.
A federal jury decides that the Pittsburgh synagogue gunman who killed 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue is eligible for the death penalty. Robert Bowers was found guilty of dozens of federal hate crimes. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
In federal court, there is a separate penalty phase of the trial where after the jury renders its verdict on guilt, they then consider whether the defendant is eligible and should be tried for capital murder requiring the death penalty. Defense counsel didn't put up any defense at all as to guilt, but regarding the death penalty, this is where they will mount their defense.
As California experiences a heat wave, animals at the Living Desert Zoo and Gardens in Palm Springs keep cool in the triple-digit heat with the help of staff. KESQ-TV's Jennifer Franco.
Some of the animals, like these camels, enjoy getting sprayed down with fresh water. It's also an opportunity for them to play and show off their personality.
Oh, yeah.
Other creatures, like this warthog, prefer wallowing in the mud, which acts as a natural sunscreen and protects them from insect bites.
More U.S. children are being diagnosed with a developmental disability. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Nearly 1 in 10 children in the U.S. between 3 and 17 years old have been diagnosed with a developmental disability such as autism. That's according to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Rates of developmental disabilities remain significantly lower in girls at 5% compared to boys at nearly 11%.
New laws legalizing marijuana in Thailand are drawing tourists from across Asia, where several countries still have the death penalty for some cannabis offenses. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We're at 30bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Jaga. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
And we love fighting for climate justice here on Native Roots Radio and doing all those kind of good things. Hey, today's kind of a special show. We're going to mix it up a little bit here. And we have a couple guests from MnDOT. And we want to talk about a couple things like jobs, infrastructure, and things like that. But I'm going to turn it over to Adrian first and introduce yourself. And really appreciate you two spending some time with us today and talking about what you do and what how we can support you.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much, Robert and Haley, for inviting us to Native Roots tonight. I'm happy to be here. I'm Adrian Carretero. I work with MnDOT, the Office of Tribal Affairs specifically, and I'm originally from France, and I have the privilege to work with tribal nations in Minnesota.
That's exciting. And then Angel, introduce yourself. What did you do here? And what's going on here? I'm trying to get you in the big screen.
Yeah. Hi, Robert and Haley. And special hello to all relatives and listeners today. I'm grateful to be here. So my name is Angel Staples. I can talk a little bit about where I'm from and where I was born and raised. I'm a MnDOT employee, first of all, so I'm here representing MnDOT. But I should talk a little bit about my background. So I was born and raised in the Twin Cities, and I am a member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. I'm a highway bridge engineer, and I work for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. I'm also co-chair of the MnDOT Indigenous Employee Resource Group. So where I'm from, Robert, I know you have ties to Harding High School and St. Paul's East Side. I actually graduated from Johnson High School. Go Governors.
Oh, boo.
And this might give away my age a little, but I really relish the fact that when I was in high school, the high school mascot was none other than Snoopy from the Peanuts gang. Today, I think the mascot is a white guy of a certain age who wears a monocle, a governor. Sorts, who looks a lot like Colonel Saunders. So it's all good. It's just fun historical fact. And I went to college at the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities. So go Gophers, another adorable mascot. Anyway, I started working for the state as a student worker during college. While working as a student worker, I discovered the MnDOT Graduate Engineer Program, where I rotated through different offices within the agency to gain experience and knowledge. Because I had such a strong interest in structural engineering, I chose the bridge office as my home base and returned to work there at the end of my rotations through the program. Since then, I've worked my way up the ranks, and I'm currently working as a principal engineer in the bridge asset management unit, where I do a little bit of crystal ball work, doing forecasting, problem solving, and risk assessments to strategize the timing of bridge investments in order to maximize the useful service life of bridges. But I'm also involved as a co-chair of the MnDOT Indigenous Employee Resource Group. It is a small commitment to a larger cause. The IERG, whose members are MnDOT employees who identify as members of First Nations of the Americas, and their allies who also work as MnDOT employees. The group works to build, connect, and inspire the Indigenous workforce in state government. And we aim to do community outreach, professional development, and we are committed to recruiting and retaining the most qualified workers within Indigenous communities across Minnesota. And so very often we try to get out into the Native community and host a booth at various job fairs or career or college career fairs where we know we find our target market. At these events, we try to answer questions, dispel myths about the agency and working for the agency, and assist qualified job seekers with navigating the job search and application process. So that's kind of my story. So
wow, that's exciting. That's exciting. And I just want to say that I went to Central High School in the 70s. So go Minutemen.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Hey, Adrian. So what do you think of that? I think that's awesome. And what a great story. And someone that can mentor in a great story to get involved, because we all know if you get a job with the state and MnDOT, you know, you're, I don't want to say taken care of, but it's a great career opportunity. And it sounds like there's different venues and things like that to move within MnDOT too.
Absolutely, Robert. I think this is kind of our mission here in coordinating and through consultation with tribal nations is to identify those tribal interests. This is actually Minnesota statute 1065 that was passed a few years ago and mandates all agencies to work with tribal nations on topics of tribal implications. So one of them is access to employment, access to contracting on public contracts, access to trainings. So we look at it pretty holistically, and that's the work we've done with Angel as well with the IERG over at MnDOT to work on what does that look like and work with tribal officials. That's a big mission that we're underway, but this is really important in order to try to identify and break down some of those barriers to make sure that everyone has access, you know, to earning a living for your family. That's what's important to us.
Yeah, that's important to all of us. I think one of the things I'd like to do a couple times before we're done is ask you where we can get a hold of you and that information, website, email, and we want to say that a few times today before this is over, so people that are driving can pull over and jot this down, or people that are listening, you know, it's very important because this is a great story, but we also want a call to action.
Absolutely. And so Angel was mentioning the work, you know, actually in person that we do, but also we have put in place a one-on-one assistance program. And that's that can be tailored to tribal members that want to apply to some of our jobs here at MnDOT. So we have a recruiter, so I can give you a contact information here. So her name is Lena Garcia. And she's been working really effectively with tribal members. Her email is lena.garcia@state.mn.us. And her phone line is 612-257-2388. That's 612-257-2388. 2388. So what we aim at doing is helping on resume building, helping with the application online process, and also offering some interview tips if, you know, it's been a while and it happens to everyone to need a little advice on how this is going to take place in a rather unfamiliar environment.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to talk about, and it sounds like you are talking with college students, and maybe we could even reach out to the high school people, because I know we got post-secondary options, and a lot of people that I've known that I've taught over the years hook up with a job in high school and go through school and come back. So maybe we can talk about that way, one of those ways too. So it's great to be here, and we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I always smile that, Dallas Goldtooth was on the show and did that promo for us. And it's a double-edged sword because they're going to be only one last season of Reservation Dogs. So it's kind of fun to listen to, but it's also sad, too. And then also with the writer's strike out there, and that's just crazy. But, hey, Angel, let's talk a little bit about your path again. Maybe... were you interested? What got you interested to be an engineer? I kind of really interested in that.
Good question. So when I was in college, when I first was a freshman in college, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just knew I was going to follow my interests, follow my heart, and find my own path along the way. And it just so happened that I took quite a bit of math, and I was actually good at math. And so I was encouraged kind of to explore engineering a little bit, since math skills and engineering kind of go hand in hand. And so it worked out good. I got into civil engineering, and I love, you know, making a tangible difference in my community. I mean, I see what I do. So it's it's been a great experience for me.
I got a maybe a little off subject too, but I know a lot of young women were really good at math, and then at a certain age, they got turned off on it. How can we help? And again, this is off topic here. How can we help our young women succeed in math? Because it's really a strange thing as being a college or a high school teacher to see that really, really intelligent young women get turned off or something happens. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. And I got to say, I always remember my high school math teacher. And I was just doing what I was supposed to do, doing the homework, taking the tests and all that. And then one day he said, "Angel, stay after class." And I was like, "Oh gosh, what did I do wrong?" But, and he just gave me some really kind words to say, "I acknowledge what you are doing. And, I think it's great that you're doing great work." And just to hear that positive reinforcement, I mean, it can make all the difference. I mean, it was probably like a 5-minute conversation with him. And I distinctly remember that as being kind of a turning point where I was like, yeah, I'm onto something here. I'm going to keep doing it, what I'm doing, and, keep at it. So yes, having a mentor of some sort is key. I can't stress that enough. And having a model, a role model of some sort who shows you where you can go with what you know. So
that's what you are here too. And I think words do matter, and that's an important story, really. And I think I always used to tell new teachers that you're going to change somebody's life. You just don't know who, and you may never know who.
Yes.
And words do matter. Yeah. And so partially it's pigeonholing. Women do certain things. They don't do math, and then people act that way, and then it becomes a reality. Is that kind of what I got out of that story? Is that you got the good part?
Yes.
Of, yeah. It's hard. It's difficult because I have a lot of former superstars that things happen to them, and you're a great example of moving forward and mentorship to our young ones, And I just got to say this too before I get to Adrian, is that both Haley and I are golfers too. I just wanted to throw that out there. Go golfers.
Great.
So Adrian, how can we get the ball rolling? How can we, how can we get our listeners and their family and people engaged with MnDOT and in a good way?
Yeah, great question. So I think first is, Angel, you just mentioned like building that self-confidence and anything we can do through that. That's why we put this one-on-one assistance program together to help with applications, with building a resume, getting access, trying to send applications to make it more tangible and reachable. So building that self-confidence. We also participate to a lot of activities, job fairs, events, and as you mentioned, Robert, we have met at one of those events, so we usually are pretty active. So in terms of attending those, of being accessible, also the Indigenous employee group has been just phenomenal in making room, time to be present also in the community. So we work with tribal colleges is one of the avenue. We work with tribal officials, including tribal employment representatives, try to make sure that we really tailor our approach to the best needs. So that includes a lot of things like having chairs for elders at a certain event that Mindat may host, or having certain types of food that are, you know, diabetic friendly, but also just also celebrating, showcasing. An example is we did a wonderful event back in White Earth at the Tribal College up there, and we had, I think, close to 15 different careers from Mindat represented. This is beyond the orange trucks that we all see and that, you know, are absolutely amazing. I've been told they go first before EMTs even, right, in the morning after a snowstorm. And so that's really what we know, what we see of Mindat, but there are so many other opportunities, including we have drone pilots, we have archaeologists, we have maintenance folks. So they, you know, they actually have the capacity to go out on the roadway and mow. And, you know, if you like something that's less office focused, those careers are, we are often looking for new people to take care of the roadway. And for that, there are certain times like before the winter and right at the end of winter for the summer construction season. These are big hiring times for those kind of careers. On the top of that, we offer competitive benefits package. We have sick time, vacation time. I think it is like also 12 paid holidays. And I hope that this, you know, and usually our salaries are pretty competitive at a starting level, you know, instead of going to work for a big firm or supermarket, or this kind of, sometimes it is a nice career endeavor to start with the state. And also what we want to see through those interactions with tribal officials is to rebuild that trust, rebuild the trust with the state.
Yeah. Angel, what is, we only got a few more minutes left here, and I'm curious, what is the favorite part of your job? I think you kind of touched lightly on that. Well, you did touch lightly.
Yeah, I kind of hit on it. So, you know, so I got to say, you know, Mindat has long been tasked with helping to support the community goals of mobility, accessibility, and economic vitality. I serve this great street. I'm very passionate about all the many facets of civil engineering and structural engineering, and this agency allows me to indulge in it. As a public servant, it can feel so rewarding to have the opportunity to make that tangible difference that I mentioned in my community, and to know I've done a tiny part to keep everyone safe while traveling in whatever mode they choose to take to arrive at a destination. So it's kind of my thing.
That's awesome. So do you get out of the office much? Do you go check on the gusset plates and all that on bridges, or is it a lot of it working
on the
computer?
Yeah, a lot of it is computer stuff. Like right now I'm working from home full time, but definitely in order to get out and learn more about the effectiveness of what I do on a computer in the real world is really important. So I do get out on occasion.
Is it a CAD? Is that the program you use? Or am I just a dinosaur by asking that?
Yeah, so we have people who specialize in doing CAD work. And then there are people who specialize in crunching numbers too. So it's kind of all a balance.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of things out there for MnDOT to do, and I'm excited to have you guys on and really, you know, give us a little taste, and I'd love to have you on again too. And just to let you guys know, I'd love to be invited as a, my real job is I am a Ho-Chunk representative here in District 4, which is everywhere but Wisconsin. So to come in and enjoy what you guys are doing for this great state of Minnesota. So I want to say, Peeny Gigi, thanks a lot for being on today.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Right on. Yeah, thank you. Right on. Well, let's do this again. And thank you so much. You know, MnDOT gets us around, and we need you, and we need people to step up and work for MnDOT too. There's a lot of opportunities. I like that drone pilots and everything in between. So Pinigigi, thank you so much, you two, for being on. And up next, I got Robert Lilligren, who's taken over the show because I have to make like a tree and leaf. I have a area meeting to go attend, but we're really excited. Robert's got a guest, and Haley and Robert will be holding it down. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's...
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrude on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Film and TV actors are going on strike at midnight Pacific time after SAG-AFTRA talks with Hollywood studios and streamers break down. Entertainment Tonight co-host Nichelle Turner.
Netflix alone has more than 230 million subscribers. SAG-AFTRA claims actors are missing out on millions.
Two groups linked to the World Health Organization now list sweetener aspartame as a possible cause of cancer, but also adds it remains safe to consume. Researcher Mary Schubauer-Berrigan.
In our view, this is really more a call to the research community to try to better clarify and understand the carcinogenic hazard that may or may not be posed by aspartame consumption.
A federal jury rules that convicted Pittsburgh synagogue gunman Robert Bowers is eligible for the death penalty. Jeff Finkelstein of the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh.
This was an act of anti-Semitism, not an issue of mental illness. This was hatred towards Jews.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick.
This is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis. And speaking of NACD, which does so many wonderful things for our community, I want to hand the host mic over for the second half of the show to a guest we're grateful to have on every week, NACD's president and CEO, Robert Lilligren.
Yeah, thanks so much for that kind introduction, Haley, and thanks for promoting our work at Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, here in South Minneapolis on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, where we focus on the people side of community development, building capacity in the community, within groups, and within our staff as well. And speaking of NACDI staff, I am thrilled to welcome as our guest this evening the director of NACDI's All My Relations Art, Angela Two Stars. And Angela has been with NACDI for several years now, and she first started as an exhibiting artist in her first public arts exhibition. She came back to guest curate an incredibly moving show that kind of became a movement called Bring Her Home. And now she's been the director for several years, I think 4 years now, if I'm not mistaken. She'll correct me. And she has just stepped in as not just an incredibly talented and effective Native arts professional, but as an artist herself. And since she has come to the Twin Cities, her career has just taken off as a public artist. And she'll talk a little about that and some of the work that she's done as well, and some of the work that All My Relations Arts and Gallery are doing on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So welcome, Angela.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for the invitation to be on the show tonight.
Thank you for accepting. And even though I'm technically Angela's boss, I didn't tell her she had to be here. She came here of her own accord, and we're very grateful. So so I don't know, do you want to just take a minute maybe, Angela, and talk about some of your own arts activities before we get into the gallery?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I got my start at All My Relations. Like you said, I was my first juried exhibition was at All My Relations in late 2016. And that just opened up opportunities, like kind of moving forward that, you know, so I really know and understand the impact that All My Relations Arts has on artists' professional careers, because I'm a testament to that. I was invited to be part of an artist panel, and around the same time, there was a call for art for the public art at Bede Makaska, which is acknowledging my ancestor, Mach Piawi Chasta. And so I reached out to the staff at All My Relations and said, hey, do you know anybody that's connected to this call? Because that's my ancestor, and I want to know. I wasn't thinking about applying because I wasn't a public artist then. And they reached out to the project manager and invited her to come to the talk that I was going to be part of. So I got to meet her. And then one thing led to another. I applied for that opportunity and I was selected. And it just, you know, kind of was the start launching point of my career as a public artist. Since then, I have multiple public works in the Twin Cities. My most well-known commission is with the Walker Art Center. I have a permanent sculpture installed in the Minneapolis Sculpture Garden, and that's called Okchiapi, which is Dakota for help each other. I've done work for the city of Minneapolis, St. Paul Port Authority, the Ordway Center for Performing Arts. I'm in the WACPA Triennial Art Festival right now. If you see in my background, I have hanging on my wall the artwork that I did for that festival. So that's up until, what is it, September?
Great.
So, yeah, keeps me busy.
You are a very busy person. And so for folks who are listening from other areas, Angela's first public art commission at Bede Makaska. Bede Makaska is Minneapolis' sort of premier lake. We're called the City of Lakes in Minneapolis, and Bede Makaska is kind of the jewel in the crown. It used to be named after a wretched slave owner, Confederate officer, and there was a huge movement led by the local Dakota community, many of whom consider themselves coming back from exile. They were exiled from the state of Minnesota in the middle of the 19th century after the U.S.-Dakota War. And they took over, they organized, and they pushed for the change of the name from this wretched Confederate slave owner to what is now Bede Makaska. It was a huge victory for the local community. And then Angela, who is a direct descendant of the resident and leadership of Bede Makaska, really brought her art that focuses on Dakota language, Dakota symbolism, and it was a huge deal. So thank you, Angela, for being willing to do all that.
Yeah, and it was actually what brought me back home, as I, you know, my ancestors were those that were exiled. And so for me, it was a homecoming, coming back to Minnesota and reconnecting with the land. So it's been wonderful to be back in my homelands.
I love it. And that the theme of sort of reclaiming and returning from exile really permeates a lot of Angela's public artworks that are on display throughout the Twin Cities here. So good work.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it's just wonderful to see how you take such a thoughtful approach to your work. And at NACD, we're fortunate. We work with a ton of incredibly talented Native professionals. They are all outstanding in their fields. And I just think Angela is an example of NACD living its mission and really developing someone along their career path and their career trajectory. And as Angela can attest, an incredible number of artists, Native artists' careers have launched right out of our little gallery.
Right. Yes, we have, over 20 years of operations as All My Relations Arts Gallery. And the names of those who've come out of our gallery, like Deani Whitehawk, who's a former director, you know, Andrew Carlson, Jim Denmy, Frank Big Bear, you know, there's just a ton of people who have somehow been connected, either working at NACD or being exhibiting artists, you know, have really got their start in our space. And, you know, right. So they have a very... we just have a long history of supporting Native artists, and it's just wonderful that that support is able to uplift them and their careers.
I agree. It's been so inspiring. And even there's a sort of a next gen. You're kind of the next generation. You know, there's Native artists like Marlena Miles and others. Marlena is a former All My Relations Arts Gallery assistant, and it's just got kind of a little magic touch. And it gives not just Native people an opportunity to come and see contemporary Native art, but non-Native people to come and see what contemporary Native art looks like. And so we have a great show opening tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I don't know if you want to say, with an event, and I don't know if you want to say a few words about that.
Yes, so we are hosting a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird, and it's titled Inde Wisagadam, which is Ojibwe for My Heart Hurts. Laura is a Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band member, and she does printmaking, which is really fun for us to be able to feature. It's not often that we have very many Native artists that work in printmaking, and so Laura has about, I want to say, like 33 works in the exhibition that are multi-layered, multifaceted monotype prints. And she uses the dress as a metaphor for her work that addresses a wide range of social issues, injustices, and biases. She uses the dress as a layer for meaning that's inspired by pictures of her grandmother. She explores identity or the lack of what that's been created by the assimilation policy that was intended to acculturate Native children into the dominant culture. And the symbol of the dress is reminiscent of her mother sewing dresses for her and her sisters and teaching sewing as an act of love. So yeah, we're just really excited to feature her work. And, you know, as a reluctant printmaker is what I call myself, when we brought out Laura's work to start, you know, curating into the space, I understood why printmakers get so giddy about seeing other printmakers' works. And I found myself just getting really excited and wanted to say, oh, her work just looks so yummy. Like the textures that's created in printmaking, it's just something else. And so I never could understand back in my college days, like why the printmaking peoples were always kind of so like, oh, look at this area right here, you know. But now I get it. And I do consider myself a reluctant printmaker. So
I love it. I've seen the show being installed. I saw it today. It's almost entirely installed. It looks great. I get what you say, yummy. My word is kind of luscious. You know, there's just so much going on. And Laura's use of the dress, you know, for me, of course, evokes a red dress, which is such a powerful symbol within our cultures and communities. And so it opens tomorrow, right? Folks are invited to an event.
Our opening reception is tomorrow from 6 until 8, and Laura is actually going to be giving an artist talk beginning at 7 p.m.
I love it. I love it. So people who are in the Twin Cities area or nearby, please come down. All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue, the American Indian Cultural Corridor, in our distinctive little yellow building, and you'll see some tremendous art. And I think it's so amazing. Our gallery is pretty small, you know, overall, but it has such a huge impact. So I expect a good crowd tomorrow for the opening and for the artist talk.
Yes, I call it small but mighty.
Yes, it is small but mighty. It is, it is. And for local folks or even folks from outside the area, our tiny building houses All My Relations Arts Gallery. It also has Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop. And then our offices are there as well. And Powwow Grounds is quite a meeting place for the local community. And today, because it was our Four Sisters Farmers Market, it was hopping. I mean, the market was hopping, the coffee shop was hopping. I don't know, Angela, if you got to spend time there.
I was there all day, and it's just Thursday. It's just a hopping in day. There's, you know, we were installing a new show. The market was going on. It's just got this like electricity on Thursdays of so much, you know, just so much going on. It's fun to be part of the community on Thursdays. So you get to see everybody, and it's great.
It's a huge part of community building. We have vendors at our Four Sisters Market. It's grown exponentially through the years. I don't know if this year it's the same way, but last year and the year before, it was all women vendors, a lot of Native women vendors, and exclusively, or I think almost 100%, at least women of color vendors. So we're advancing entrepreneurialism in the Native community and communities of color. And like you said, it's just it's a happening scene. It's a place to be. It's where Native people come together to be together and to build community. So stay tuned. There's always more. It's a growing project of NACTI. And if folks can stay with us, Angela is going to talk about some more incredible work she's been doing through All My Relations Arts, developing and empowering Native muralists and also Native authors in some cohort programs she's been leading. So please stay with us.
Yeah, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care. It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
This is
here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Good one.
Sorry, Andrew, should have prepped you for the howl. There, you could have participated. So I'm Robert Lilligren. I'm the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in South Minneapolis. And I'm filling in for Robert for this last half so he can go off and continue to serve the community in another way in his role as a Ho-Chunk legislator. So thank you for this opportunity. And Haley, thanks so much for your help and support and seeing, guiding us through this. And I got to tell you, Angela and Haley, listening to Robert in his public service announcement about COVID, I just had a little flashback to the beginning of the quarantine era and also the stay-at-home era. And then here in Minneapolis, of course, George Floyd was murdered in May of 2020, and everything changed. And the city blew up, parts of the city were burning. It was very scary. And with Angela Two Star's leadership, Angela Two Star is the director of All My Relations Arts, who's with us tonight, we quickly converted the All My Relations Arts Gallery into a pop-up sort of store, food shelf, grocery store almost, because so many of the food access points in our community had burned and were no longer open to people. And I don't know, Angela, if you ever think about that era, but I feel like now I'm finally kind of dealing with the trauma of that time. And I just remember what an incredible community service that All My Relations Arts did at that time.
Yes, and you know, it kind of comes around full circle. Like just today, Angel Swan, who was the kind of food coordinator of that temporary food shelf that was in the gallery, she has now come to NACDI as the, I'm not sure exactly the title, executive administrative assistant. I'm not sure, like, correct me.
Administrative Robert. Coordinator as well. Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah, so, but she was saying she saw one of the ladies today who would come in almost daily to the food shelf. And, you know, Angel ran into her today and the lady, like, gave her a gift, you know. So it's like that reconnection, that healing of and just that community of like we were all together then and like we're still here together now, and that remembering that kind of shared trauma we all endured in that period of time in our neighborhood and in the cities, you know. I think it was just, it's interesting that that just came up today in the office.
That's very interesting, and it does seem like, at least for my experience, I'm in this era of now finally kind of processing through that. And you know, every so often, I've been participating in some conversations and panels that are touching on that, and I just forget how crazy it was here and how painful it was here at the time. And so it was cool to be able to serve the community in that way. And I'll point out, we weren't just serving Native people, right? We were serving and protecting our non-Native neighbors, our non-Native assets. And that's what community is all about. So it was a big deal. So Angela, in this last section, I was hoping we could talk about maybe some of the capacity that we build in the community. And under your leadership at All My Relations Arts, we've developed this cohort model, both in visual artists and different media, like electronic media or mural making, and also within writers. We've established cohorts of Native writers, getting Native writers to publishing and things. So I wonder if you could please talk a little about that.
Yeah, so I could share that, you know, once the pandemic hit and the gallery was shuttered, you know, for that period of time, we couldn't emphasize, you know, in-person gallery exhibitions like we typically do. But what that allowed us to do is open up and branch out into partnerships. And so we worked with a number of community partners like Northern Lights MN to do a project called Illuminate the Lock and Dam. We did a partnership with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and we have a 3-year mural that still is currently installed on Franklin Avenue that addressed the homelessness crisis, especially in 2018 with the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And then we've also partnered with Hennepin Theater Trust for a multi-year cohort model where we've selected 3 artists to work underneath a mentor on different types of highly visible art forms. So the first project, we had a digital cohort where we had three artists working with a mentor to learn about digital animation, digital art, and then those works were then displayed on the Clear Channel media billboards throughout the Twin Cities. So it's really amplifying Native truth telling through a visual lens. And this year we've been working with a mural cohort. So after the murder of George Floyd, we saw all of the business windows covered with plywood, and those were taken by artists, and our city became a, you know, kind of like a city of murals for artists using those blank canvases. And so we invested in three artists that are working with a mural mentor, and they're not mural artists per se, but it's wonderful to see how they're able to translate their art forms into mural art and be able to see, like, oh, you can step outside this box that you think you are as an artist, and you can apply that to other ways of making art. And we have a wonderful mentor named Thomasina Topbear. She's got murals all throughout the Twin Cities, and she's working with these three artists. They're actually going to be doing a mural at the newly rebuilt refractory building on Bedemakoska. So they'll be working on that this summer. So yeah, it's been wonderful to work with that group. It's wonderful to see what we're doing is trying to grow that pool of artists that are working in digital media, trying to grow the pool of artists working in mural art. So that's our partnership.
I love it. And the partnerships have these places where this art is being displayed are some of the most high profile places in Minneapolis. So Angela mentioned the Clear Channel billboards, electronic billboards, but also part of the partnership through the Hennepin Theater Trust was to activate more Native presence on our theater district. And downtown Minneapolis, the Hennepin Avenue is the theater center of Minneapolis, and about tens of thousands of people visit it through the theater season, maybe hundreds, we should get that number. But it just really exposed a lot of people who wouldn't have an opportunity to see contemporary Native art. And it's very commentary, right? It's very, sometimes maybe a little political, a little sharp, but they got to see it. And now this mural that will be installed, you know, more or less permanently at Bedemakoska, at a new pavilion, the old one burned down, will be seen again by tens of thousands of people throughout the season. So it's really lifting the profile. And yes. Then we have our Native writers cohorts, which I just think are amazing.
Yeah. So Diane Wilson, who is like a celebrated Dakota author, approached me kind of right when I first started at NACD, and she wanted to look for a way to support Native writers. And I am, you know, a huge supporter and lover of books. And prior to coming to NACD, I worked as a curriculum coordinator for a language immersion school. And one of the lack of resources we had was materials written by Native writers. And so when Diane approached me, I said, yes, sign me up. I'm do what we can to do to help. And so what we did is we applied our model of supporting Native artists to supporting Native writers. And so we had a group of eight cohort writers who were very committed to a monthly practice, a dedicated writing practice, with the end goal after that, I want to say it was an 18-month period of being close to or have completed a finished manuscript that then could be taken for publication. So we invited editors, publishers, agents, funders, all different ways that we can support these writers. And this current cohort, we have 12. Our applications were way more than we could, you know, accommodate, but we'll have two readings of that group of those 12 this summer as part of the Wakpaw Festival.
So not only do these Native writers get mentorship from professional writers, they create a product that's publishable, but these opportunities to read their work in public, to really advance their skills as readers, but also the exposure that they need. And it's so important for writers to be able to present their work and to talk about their work. So it's just living the NACD mission, right, of building that capacity. So it's a joy to work with you, Angela, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Robert Lilligren, again.
It's the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series at the Waukesha County Fair, Thursday, July 20th on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage, featuring Iron Plow, Karma Shotgun, and Talon. Music starts at 7:30, hosted by WAUK's Don Brown. The Waukesha County Fair on the Whammy and Guitars for Vet stage. Find more info at guitars4vets.org. Presented by WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.